Hi. Happy Sunday. Thanks. Yes, it's also the Feast of St. Boniface, June 5th. Only he and I know that, and we're sort of celebrating that together. The rest of the church is ignoring us, but appreciate your prayers. Have an extra scoop of ice cream on me. Good. Did you have a nice Mass? Mass is good? Sunday Mass? Nice. I was in Our Lady of Joy Parish. What a name, huh? Our Lady of Joy. Let's have more of that in church. In a place called Holiday Park. What do you want, really? All right. Well, let's just take a few moments in silence and be aware that we're in the presence of the Lord and ask for his help. And if you'll say a little prayer for me, that I can speak his words, be his voice for you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what he wants to teach you. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph. Saint Boniface. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to share with you some things about prayer. And prayer is not an isolated activity. It, of course, is fully intertwined with our lives. And so some points about prayer also influence some points about our lives. And especially when we're doing ministry for the Lord and our lives are so caught up in a spiritual outreach, some of the movements of prayer are also helpful for understanding how to make decisions and move forward in our lives. I'll be teaching a few points about St. Ignatius's discernment of spirits. And the great teacher of Ignatian, well, maybe just to take a step back, you've of course heard of St. Ignatius. We have a Pope who's a Jesuit now. If you haven't heard of St. Ignatius, we have some other remedial things to take care of. But he's the founder of the Jesuits, and he was a real master in terms of discernment of spirits. And Pope Francis has actually said that when someone said, "You're the first Jesuit Pope. What do you bring to the papal office as a Jesuit?" And Pope Francis said, "I think the thing that I can offer is discernment, to be able to discern how the Lord is at work, how the good Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is moving, and thus on behalf of the church, at that level of the church, to discern different directions to take." Because St. Ignatius was a real master of discernment. He, from his own interior experience, there are really three things going on. One is to actually grow in the spiritual life. Another is to be aware of our growth in the spiritual life. Another is to be able to teach that. And St. Ignatius was one of those rare people who had all three of those going on. He was growing, he knew he was growing, and he knew how well enough to be able to share it with the rest of us. So the church has a real debt of gratitude to St. Ignatius for a lot of his insights on prayer and discernment. And so Pope Francis, being a true son of St. Ignatius, and there are a lot of ways to detect that, his scathing examinations of conscience, for example, for the Roman Curia or for priests or for all of us, are helpful and a sign of the way that he applies all of these things to himself. And he's lived in this world of discernment, really trying to be sensitive to how the good spirit or how the evil spirit is working on him and pushing him one direction or another, and then to know how to respond appropriately. So St. Ignatius gives us a whole cadre of tools for the spiritual life. And one of the great teachers in our day, we're really blessed to be living at this time, is Father Timothy Gallagher. Probably familiar, some of you, maybe all of you, are familiar with this book, and he's got a whole series of similarly uniformly colored books. And you can line them up, they make a nice pastel rainbow. And I would also propose he got better and better at writing them. This is his first one, and he's really good at teaching this now. Not all of that comes through in this very first book that he ever wrote, but a lot of it does. He's has a great teaching technique of alternating between practical examples and rich doctrine, giving us the rules themselves, explanations, and then how to apply them. Anyway, it's a lot of beautiful things, but he's got a ton of media out now that's available, some of it for free, some of it for purchase. He has a whole series of podcasts on discerninghearts.com that are very helpful. And then he's got a DVD series that's very helpful. I think you have to purchase that. Discerning Hearts, the podcasts are free. If you're ever looking for a parish group, or maybe for your, if you're looking for a community activity, maybe your mission group of four or five people, get the DVD series, watch it together, reflect on it. Just a lot to learn there from Father Gallagher. And he teaches the various rules for discernment. As I said, Ignatius wrote a lot of stuff building from his own experience after having gotten hit in the leg by a cannonball. Painful. Having his leg set improperly, having it reset through surgery, all without anesthetic. Painful. He was convalescing for a long period of time and became aware of what was happening within him as he was reading certain things, romance novels versus lives of the saints, as he was praying in certain ways. He was paying attention to what was happening within him. And then drawing from that experience, he drew forth some rules and then also developed a course of exercises through scriptures, a way of praying, a lot of stuff. Okay, so there's a lot of good stuff there. I just want to focus on a basic building block in all of the things that St. Ignatius writes is the understanding of consolation and desolation. It's a real basic building block in our spiritual lives. And you've already had your experiences of consolation and desolation. You may not have labeled them as such, although I'll read the descriptions and you'll say, oh yeah, I know what that is for consolation or desolation. The tricky part is how to use the consolation effectively, how not to be derailed by the desolation. And when we get those things right, it helps us a great deal to navigate the spiritual life. The big rule, number 5, don't change your spiritual plan in times of spiritual desolation. It's a common problem, right? You get fired up. We're doing the culture project thing. We go out. We have a speaking mission. I get a lot of good feedback. I'm changing lives. And then I get into a slump. Maybe there's some natural causes that lead up to it. It's not as much to do. I don't like the paperwork. I hate the fundraising. I'm getting a little bit of a slump. I'm tired of giving the same talk. People aren't responding. I'm getting some criticism. There might be some natural reasons. And then it starts to crash in and I start to wonder, where is God in all of this? Why am I doing this? How did I get myself into this? Maybe I need to take a new direction. Wrong. Stop. See, just very practical. Not a time to change course. Times of desolation are not times to change course. So just a simple starting point. You can see how practical this point of application is. God will lead us by positive means to change course. Times of consolation are times for insight, are times to set out a spiritual path, are times to make a spiritual plan. So just to give you a very basic application to see how valuable this understanding is. But being aware of times of consolation, times of desolation, and responding appropriately is a basic building block in the spiritual life. So I want to spend a little time walking through that. And then, again, St. Ignatius gives us some basic practices for handling those two basic parts of our spiritual life. But first to read St. Ignatius's description of consolation. He says, "I call it consolation when some interior movement is caused in the soul through which the soul becomes inflamed with love of its Creator and Lord, and consequently when it can love no created thing on the face of the earth itself, in itself, but only in the Creator of them all. Likewise, when it sheds tears that move to love of its Lord, whether out of sorrow for one's sins, or for the passion of Christ our Lord, or because of other things directly ordered to his service and praise. Finally, I call consolation every increase of hope, faith, and charity, and all interior joy that calls and attracts to heavenly things and to the salvation of one's soul, quieting it and giving it peace in its Creator and Lord." Now, hopefully all of you had some connection with that to your personal experience and you go, "Oh yeah, I love those times." Sweet. Love those consolations. Our soul is inflamed with love of our Creator and Lord, burning with love for God, passionate, want to go out and face the world, share this with everybody. I just can't wait to get out there. I can't. Or let's build 3 tents, Lord. I don't ever want to leave this place. Maybe you're having this experience last night in adoration. I hope somebody was. It's wonderful. You're just like, "Oh, I just want to stay here. This is so great. Just love to be with Jesus. He's so real to me. I can see his face. He's speaking his love to me. I'm just getting so filled up with that, encouraged in faith. I really believe this. I'm so glad I'm Christian." Just zealous for the Lord. So, consolation, a beautiful experience. Maybe move to tears. Maybe, as St. Ignatius says, we're focusing on the passion. We look up at the crucifix, how he loves us. We look at the Blessed Sacrament, the way that he sacrifices to remain with us, and our heart is just stirred up and moved at that. Some tears begin to fall. So grateful for what he's done for me. Sometimes the tears fall because as soon as I'm in the presence of one who loves me so much, I think, "Ah, man, why have I just not been more faithful? Why do I fall off the wagon? Why do I cut off my neighbor? Why do I get into these fights with people? Why do I..." Lord, you know, and some tears come as we're just aware of our own sinfulness. Moved with faith, hope, and charity, interior joy that calls and attracts to heavenly things. And as it says, I don't even want that ice cream. Like, I just, not even these created things. I was craving it 10 minutes ago, now I'm in prayer, I'm filled up with love for the Lord. I don't even want that ice cream anymore. Except insofar as I find Jesus in that ice cream. Well, anyway, so revealing too much here about myself. But really, we can find there's a way in which that consolation doesn't only cut us off from everything else, but again, I want even more those encounters with people or to have the opportunity to share it or different ways that I find the Lord in created things. So, consolation. And consolation is a very important part of our spiritual life, and the Lord gives those consolations for a reason, because he wants to build us up. He wants to strengthen us. We begin to grow in virtue. It becomes more solidified in our souls in those times of consolation. And what also comes are thoughts. St. Ignatius says, in the same way that thoughts, we'll get to that in desolation. Just as consolation is contrary to desolation, in the same way the thoughts that come from consolation are contrary to the thoughts that come from desolation. There are certain thoughts that come in our times of consolation. We have some insight. Yes, this is the mission that I'm meant to be a part of. Or, yes, I'm called to marry this person. I need to move forward with that. Or, I need to really commit myself to making that holy hour every day. This is such an important part of my spiritual life. We can have those thoughts and consolation that give us a clear direction. It's like being on a mountaintop and you can see the valley that's there. You can see the way that the road moves, and it's going to be in the forest. It's going to get into a dark place, but I can see clearly from this perspective. Consolation is a good time to discern and have a clear insight about where we're moving. So we want to savor those times of consolation. We want to be aware of the thoughts that are coming that are going to be from the Lord. He's the one who's directing us and guiding us. Not to say that every thought that you have in time of consolation is directly from God, right? Still some discernment that's necessary, but we want to save those things up. Those are going to be good indicators, good directions to move in, good things to bring up in spiritual direction. It's always good. That's rule number 13. Reveal everything to the spiritual director, right? So we want to keep that also in mind. But the point is, those thoughts and consolation are going to be helpful for us. St. Ignatius says we want to store those things up too, because guess what? Desolation is coming. And the more that we can remember those times of consolation and that that's a fixed experience in our heart, that can help to carry us through that time of desolation. Again, to use that image, when I'm on the mountaintop and I can see that path that's winding through the forest and whoa, it just kind of disappears from sight there, that's going to be a dicey part. But I want to be able to remember what I saw from the mountaintop when I go down into the valley and start walking that path so that I can hearken back to that. I want to store up that time of consolation. We also want to be clear in times of consolation that it's a gift. This is not something like, okay, I get into adoration, I kneel down for 47 seconds, and I fix my eyes on the Blessed Sacrament, I sing three songs in my head, snap my fingers twice, boom, consolation, right? This is not a magic trick that we can summon up in ourselves in order to bring forth this experience. It really is a gift. Now, we can predispose ourselves to that. Obviously, taking times in prayer, making ourselves available, setting aside other things. You know, the normal process of entering into prayer, cultivating that relationship with the Lord, is going to dispose us. It's going to make us available to receive that gift. If we really want to resist consolation, the Lord is not going to overwhelm us, tackle us, and force it on us. Although sometimes it comes a little bit out of the blue when we're daydreaming and then, you know, suddenly we sort of snap to. But in any event, the consolation is not simply our doing. It really is a gift. It's the Lord's action. We can dispose ourselves, but we have to also be careful to be humble. And St. Ignatius teaches us in the rules, in times of consolation, we do well to remember the times of desolation, because that reminds us we're not all that. Just remember the way that you behaved in desolation 5 minutes ago or 5 days ago or 5 years ago, and it helps to, oh yeah, this is really a gift. I'm not suddenly like excelling to the highest forms of prayer, just about ready to float. If only I didn't wear it, you know. So we can remember it's important to be humble in times of consolation, to know that it's a gift, to savor that in our hearts, and to pay attention to the thoughts that are coming, to save those up for discussion in spiritual direction. We can start to make some commitments, some resolutions. Again, depending on the extremity of those resolutions, it's more or less important to discuss that with somebody to make sure that we weren't just having a manic episode, you know. But for smaller resolutions, we might want to just move forward with that right there in the time of consolation, set ourselves on a path, start going down that mountain into the valley with confidence, knowing that the Lord is close to us. So consolation is such an important time of strength for us, and we want to be available to that and savor that, hold on to those things. Again, it's a gift. It's not something that we're going to be able to create for ourselves, but we should know how to respond to it when those gifts come. And the Lord does have a way, especially as we set out on difficult things. When we set out in the spiritual life, a lot of times the Lord really builds us up. When we've had a conversion, we start moving in the right direction. The Lord wants to reinforce that. He gives us a lot of sweetness. When He's teaching us something new, maybe you're starting out a new form of prayer, the first time you ever made a holy hour, you know, and the Lord gives you some special gifts to kind of encourage you along the way and help you move forward with that. The Lord has a way of building things up at the outset. But then he also wants to get us to a point that we're doing it not just because it feels good, but because he's good and because it is good. And so that's going to level out into just a normal place. Mostly where we live our lives is in a normal place. And then there are going to be peaks of consolation, there are going to be valleys of desolation. They can be momentary. 5 seconds of consolation can be wonderful. 5 minutes, half an hour, maybe a series of consolations over the course of a number of days. The Lord has all of his own patterns with these things. We can be plunged into a time of desolation also for 5 minutes or 5 days, or if you're Mother Teresa, 50 years, and that can persevere. And so knowing how to deal with the desolation is also important. Let me pause here. Any questions about consolation? Do you follow the movement there? Okay, I'll ask for more questions later, so store those things up if something else comes. But to move into desolation, and that's where St. Ignatius spends the bulk of his 14 rules for the first week of discernment. Anyway, the weeks correspond to the spiritual exercises, but for his sort of initial 14 rules, he spends the bulk of the time talking about desolation, because knowing how to deal with that is going to be a little bit more challenging. In some ways, it's also going to be more formative. There's a little bit more resistance there. And so the things that we learn through desolation are going to provide an even more firm foundation for us and are very important. A little resistance training, right? It's great to run. It's better to run with weights on, I guess. I don't know. I don't run with weights on. It's a bad analogy. But a little resistance training with desolation is very helpful. So let me first of all read the description of desolation. St. Ignatius says, I call desolation all the contrary of the third rule, consolation. What's not consolation? The opposite of consolation. Okay, that's a good way to define it. And then he goes into more detail, such as darkness of soul, disturbance in it, movement to low and earthly things, disquiet from various agitations and temptations, moving to lack of confidence, without hope, without love, finding oneself totally slothful, tepid, lukewarm, sad, and as if separated from one's Creator and Lord. For just as consolation is contrary to desolation, in the same way the thoughts that come from consolation are contrary to the thoughts that come from desolation. So hopefully that gives you an impression, and again, maybe you're already connecting that with an experience. There are different aspects to that. That darkness of soul, I just like can't find my way through this. It just seems everything's dark, confusing. I don't know what I'm doing in the culture project. I don't know what I'm doing in this chapel. I don't know what I'm doing in this relationship. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Darkness of soul, disturbance in it. I'm just so tired of this. Just sick of it. It's disturbed. Things are all messed up. What's wrong? What's going on with all this? Movement to low and earthly things. You know, I just like want to spend time surfing the internet. Maybe even to sinful things. Shopping. No. just kidding. You know, maybe it's, I haven't watched TV in 10 years, but I just feel like, I don't know, just watching in front, I just feel like laxing out in front of the television. So not even necessarily evil or sinful things, but just kind of, I'm tired of the spiritual thing. I could go and pray, I should make my holy hour. Someone just asked me to pray the rosary. We always pray the rosary. I just don't want to. I just rather have a bag of popcorn. You know, I'd just rather go to McDonald's. I don't know. So low and earthly things. Disquiet from various agitations and temptations. I know I ought to go to bed, but I don't know, I'll just check some more email. I'll just kind of do something else. I don't feel like doing what I should do. Just agitated. Temptations, even to be sinful about that. Start gossiping with somebody. Start letting my mind wander into fantasies. I start, you know, have another 6 bowls of ice cream. I just have... Moving to lack of confidence, without hope, without love. You know, this whole thing is just not going to work out. I mean, like, I don't know what these culture project people are doing. Like, this is just not going anywhere. It's just not going to work out. I just, you know, I give these talks. Nobody listens. It's just, I don't know what the point is. Right? Lack of hope, lack of love. I just don't have the energy, you know. It's, person's so needy, just like, turn the phone off, turn the thing away. I just can't deal. Right, so slothful, lukewarm, sad, as if separated from one's Creator and Lord. Consolation seems like a million miles away. I had all these warm feelings. Maybe it was just like a chemical. I don't know. Maybe I was just having a manic episode. I don't know what was going on there. So we get that idea from, for spiritual desolation, there's a kind of heaviness. Now again, there are some natural factors in that, but that starts to become a spiritual desolation when it starts to get into our mindset that, you know, maybe what's this God thing all about anyway? Maybe why am I even here? Maybe God didn't really call me into this situation. We start to doubt God. You see how it gets worked into our thoughts. There might be natural reasons to be down. Depression is not the same as desolation, but depression can lead to desolation. What starts as a low mood can also flow over into maybe there isn't a God. Right? So that's where depression has started to flow over into desolation. I might just be tired and worn out. I might just be down and things are kind of dark. But then when I start allowing that to flow over into, you know, what's the purpose of this? Why am I doing this? Maybe God isn't asking this of me. Maybe God doesn't exist. You know, then it's become a spiritual desolation. It's flowed over into that. So natural desolation, spiritual desolation. Anyway, we don't have to, it's important to make the distinctions. We don't have to get too wrapped around the axle about all of that. But the point is then, in that time of desolation, one of the most valuable things we can do is simply to know that this could be a time of desolation. Just that fact helps us so much. That helps us just step back from the desolation and be able to say, I might be in desolation. And now I'm no longer in desolation. I am reflecting on myself in desolation. You see how I've stepped out of myself, I've stepped out of that desolation to be aware that I'm in desolation. And just that activity of stepping back and recognizing that is tremendously helpful. Because now I've sort of stepped back into what is more truly myself, and this part of me that's in desolation that's kind of flooding me and having an effect on my thinking and my feeling and weighing me down in different ways and leading to these different thoughts, I'm just one degree freed up from that to be able to say that that process might be going on in me. So just that is tremendously helpful. And then I can also start to ask the question, what now? And that's the key thing. How do I deal with this desolation? And there are three main thrusts in this. One is perseverance. One is pushing against, resisting the desolation. And then the third is trying to get some insight about the desolation. Those are kind of the three major areas that St. Ignatius identifies. Why am I going through this? And then what do I do about it? Persevere, and then ways to resist. Kind of go hand in hand. So just to say it again, rule number 5. Don't change your spiritual plans in times of spiritual desolation. Persevere. So first of all, don't abandon, well, you know, I'm in this place of desolation. I could pray night prayer like I do every night, like I committed myself to do. Or I could surf the internet, pray night prayer, do it anyway. I could make my holy hour like I committed myself to do every day, but I really don't feel like it. I'm gonna go for a walk or whatever. So persevere. Times of desolation are not the times to change your spiritual plans. Persevere. So that's one point. And then St. Ignatius also offers some particular spiritual practices in facing desolation. And these are also very helpful. They're little ways of resisting. He gives, actually, as a later rule, he says, desolation is such that if we give a strong resistance to the enemy, sometimes he just flees. And so how do we give that resistance? How do we just give a push back against that? No, I'm not going to accept this desolation. I'm not going to accept the temptations, the thoughts, the attack that's coming. I'm just going to give a push back on that. So how do we give that push back? Well, one is through prayer. And by this, St. Ignatius means intercessory prayer, just asking God for help. God, help me. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's not a whole prayer routine. Just, I'm in desolation. Lord, I need your help. Just that simple can be very helpful. And then a second is what he calls meditation. And we could think of it in terms of remembering who God is. Lord, I know that you are my Savior. I know that you are close to me. I know that you don't abandon me. I know that you're all powerful and you're in charge of everything. I know that you're going to work this to the good. I know that I'm never separated from you. So I'm just recounting. These are all truths from Scripture, right? We know these things. I know that you're all powerful. I know that you're all merciful. I know that you're close to me. So just remembering who God is, going through that act of memory. And then we might even remember some things that are particular to me. I remember that time of consolation. I remember the way that you guided me into this, that you got me into this mess to begin with. I remember the way that you led me into the culture project. I remember the way that you said you would always be with me, no matter what I was experiencing. That's wonderful when we get those kinds of personal promises to the Lord. I had a wonderful experience in prayer before I went, right after I was ordained a priest, I went to Penn State, which helped to be the origin of all of this, because there she is, and there's Dave Sow. So, or not Dave Sow. Anyway, I met Christina and Dave Sow after I went to Penn State, just a couple months after I was ordained a priest. It was the first time. I've been in the monastery for 6 years. The monastery is a wonderful place. Hopefully you have a feeling for that already. Who wants to leave here, really? So I knew that this was going to be a struggle for me. I had a time in retreat. I said to the Lord, how am I going to live this out? I've never, you know, for 6 years I've been praying the divine office together with my brother monks in community. Now I'm essentially going to be praying it alone. I had the support of all of these brothers, a structure of prayer, you know, five places on campus where the Blessed Sacrament is. Now I'm going to be in this different situation, doing all of this computer science, among other things. God help us. And then trying to balance that with campus. Anyway, so I knew that there were a lot of challenges that lay ahead of me. I was in this time of retreat, and I just said to the Lord, help, you know, give me some guidance. And in a time of consolation, I felt him very close to me. And that love filled my heart, and I knew that Jesus was there, and I was able to lay these things out to him. And he said, I want you to do computer science Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, you know, essentially the working day. I want you to never do computer science on Sunday, and the rest is flex, right? Evenings, Saturdays. I was like, wow, okay. That's pretty good. And it's always nice to get some clear direction. So I went to Penn State. I did exactly that. Got a doctorate in 3 years. Worked pretty well. And I had times where I started to get a little stressed, like, I've got a lot of computer science to do. I really want to work on Sunday. The Lord said, don't work on Sunday. On the other hand, there were people who were having crises, and they wanted help. And the Lord said, do computer science 9 to 5. So I did computer science 9 to 5. I'll meet with you after 5. You know? So just trusting in that time of consolation. Sometimes the Lord gives us some personal direction, some reassurance. He's spoken a word to us. That can all be a source of strength during a time of desolation, when we're stressed, when we're struggling, when we have questions, when that disturbance, when those temptations come. We can remember that personal promise he gave, or we can remember those scriptural truths about him that he also gave. Be a source of strength for us. St. Ignatius also says another way of resisting that time of desolation, resisting what the enemy is doing, is through a little bit of penance. This doesn't mean fasting for a week. Right? A little bit of penance. So just anything to go against the grain. When you're making a holy hour and you're in a time of desolation, what do you want to do? Leave after 50 minutes. That's close. Come on. Stay for an extra 2 minutes. Stay for an hour and 2 minutes when you want to leave at 50 minutes. So that's a little bit of penance. Just push it. We never want to do violence to ourselves. And even when I talk about resisting the enemy in desolation, you can see I'm not making violent movements, just steady, contrary movement, not violence. We don't want to do violence to ourselves. We should never be harsh with ourselves internally. We might have to persevere. We might have to apply a little bit of elbow grease to push in the spiritual life, but always gently. We don't need to do violence. So likewise, a little bit of penance is not staying for 4 hours when we wanted to leave at 50 minutes. It's not doing spiritual calisthenics and hurting ourselves. We don't want to, not those violent movements. So again, strong, persistent perhaps, confident, but not violent, not harsh. We just want to be gentle interiorly. So, but a little bit of penance, push back. Or when I'm in a time of desolation, what's the last thing I want to do? Help anybody. Just like, get away from me. Leave me alone, right? That's a good opportunity. Do their dishes. You know, just a little thing, a little sacrifice. I'm going to push against this desolation. I don't feel like it. I don't want to help anybody. Going to go a little bit beyond. Not clean the whole house from top to bottom. You can do that if you want. But anyway, that a little bit of penance, just to do a little bit, have that contrary movement to the kind of sinking. Desolation has a way of feeling like implosion. We're just collapsing into ourselves. And just to have the contrary movement of going out of ourselves, sacrifice and service can be such a big help. St. Ignatius also lists acts of faith and hope. I already covered that a little bit in saying, you know, we remember our faith tells us this is who God is, this is who Jesus is, this is the way that he loves us. Even though I don't feel like it, I know it's true. And I persevere in that. An act of hope that, as St. Ignatius says, this isn't going to last that long. That's the reality. It's not going to last that long. I'll be out of this desolation before I know it. And when I'm out of it, I'll have a hard time even remembering that I was in it. That's the reality. We have a way of getting so stuck in our current experience that it's hard to imagine anything else. But if I can make that little act of hope, I'm going to be out of this in no time. And so I want to try and live this as well as I can now. It's almost like for any of you who are runners or you work out, it's like, I'm almost done. I can push out that last 100 yards. You know, I'm almost, when I cross that finish line, very quickly I'm going to feel great. I feel like my legs are rubber and I'm falling apart right now, but I know I can push out that last 100 yards. I'm going to cross that finish line and then I'm going to feel great. And so I can give it a little bit more. In desolation, we can think that way. The consolation's just around the corner, just coming up any time now. It's not going to be long now. So those acts of faith and hope are very helpful. And we can also be aware of what the Lord's doing for us in the time of desolation. The Lord is really helping us to move from our natural supports to supernatural supports. It's a very important thing. We have a lot of natural supports. Some people are able to like force their way through prayer no matter what, just push through it. Or some people have a naturally positive disposition. I feel great all the time, you know, it's not hard to push through. Well, the Lord can be weaning us off of some of those natural supports, that security that's in our own control, and helping us even when we feel like kind of down and not very well put together and a little confused and having a hard time meditating and our body hurts and we have, you know, in the midst of some misunderstanding and somebody doesn't like us and we have all these bad feelings that are clouding us. And still I trust that God is there, that I love Him, that I want to persevere in the ways that I'm serving Him and being faithful to the mission. And that's how God weans us off of the natural supports and starts to build that substance, the supernatural substance, the spiritual support. I mentioned yesterday Pope Benedict's encyclical, God is Love. I want to mention another encyclical, Saved in Hope. And Pope Benedict speaks so beautifully about this. He says, essentially, there are these two substances. He draws out this text from the letter to the Hebrews that we want to wean ourselves off of the natural basis for life, our material supports. And by giving all of that up, we place the weight of our life on the substance of faith, God's love for us. And the radical examples of this are the penitents like St. Francis, who really gave up all natural supports, right? And put the whole weight of his life on the substance of faith. If there is no God, St. Francis's life is a joke. How many of us can say that? Well, I don't know, life's pretty good. You know, if this whole God thing doesn't work out, I got a good backup plan. That's what we want to move ourselves off of. Really build our lives on the substance of faith. The other great witness of that is the martyrs, right? Those who really gave everything. I was just listening to a CD on the Mexican martyrs. You know, just amazing. I mean, the clergy were just ripped apart. I mean, thousands of priests were just murdered in cold blood in Mexico. And they just kept throwing themselves into it. And that even the Vatican asked for a ceasefire for the return of religion. 6,000 cristeros laid down their weapons in faith, obedient to the Vatican, and then were just assassinated. Yeah, it's amazing. And they knew what they were heading for. That's building our lives on the substance of faith. And that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of trust that God is building in us through times of desolation. When it doesn't feel good, if you're Blessed Jose Sanchez, soon to be Saint Jose Sanchez, a 12-year-old boy, and they're taking a razor to the bottom of your feet and shaving all of the skin off, telling you to renounce your faith, and then forcing you to walk on salt, it doesn't feel good. Let's call that desolation. And being able to say, it doesn't feel good, but I know it's true. And being able to make the choice anyway for the Lord. That's where we want to be. That's where the saints are. So that's what the Lord is preparing us. That's the strength that He's building in those times of desolation. And if we can remember that in desolation, again, if we can say, oh, I'm in desolation. Now I'm in myself, reflecting on myself in desolation, and I can say, this is my chance to grow in faith, to become like the martyrs and the saints. And that can give me a little more oomph, a little strength to push through in that time of desolation, to know that there's something good happening here. Now I'm already leading into the last point that I want to make, which is, what is going on in desolation? And St. Ignatius offers some insights about that. Our first temptation is to think, I don't have any spiritual feelings, it's hard to pray, it's hard to do the ministry that I signed up for, it's hard to live in community and have charity. I must be doing something wrong. That's usually our first feeling is, I'm doing something wrong. This is a result of my sinfulness. Where did I go wrong? How did I get into this back alley? Where did I take a wrong turn at Albuquerque? You know, where did the train get off the tracks? And St. Ignatius says, well, that might be the reason. That's one of the reasons we can end up in desolation, is the Lord helping us by saying, you're heading in the wrong direction. There needs to be some conversion. You need to take a turn. So the last practice of pushing against desolation also ties into this, much examination. To really look at our lives, am I doing something wrong? Did I veer from my spiritual practices? Did I basically close my heart to my brother in unforgiveness? Did I really bomb something? Am I saturated with pride? I get filled up with myself. Did I think I could do it all on my own? Did I forget about the Lord? A lot of different possibilities. So it's a possibility. Look at our lives. Is there something that led us in this direction? Might be that. It's not necessarily that. And that's very important too, that we don't immediately fall into desolation about being in desolation. That we don't despair about being in despair. That we don't immediately say, oh, I'm in desolation, I blew it again. Okay, well maybe. But reserve judgment on that. Say, did I blow it again? Is there something that I did? And it may or may not be the case. So we can reflect on that examination. Might be because I went astray. But it might also be, as I said, that the Lord is trying to strengthen us. He's trying to wean us off of the good feelings, that I'm not just doing good for the sake of feeling good, that I'm not just doing good so that I can get those consolations, that I'm not trying to extract spiritual candy from the Lord, but that I'm really doing good for goodness' sake, that I'm really doing good for God's sake. And so by not giving me that reward, the Lord is strengthening my interior that I want to do good because it is good. He wants to firm up my conviction. The third reason that we can end up in desolation is because God wants to humble us. The main enemy in the spiritual life is pride. Pride is what takes down the greatest and destroys them. The Desert Fathers had an image for this that, you know, at climbing the rung of sanctity, we get to the highest rung and the last enemy is pride. And that's where the devil says, a great job you've done. Well, thank you. And we fall from the greatest height and have the greatest damage from pride. So the Lord really has to root out that pride. We cling to pride because if we're really faced with the reality of our nothingness, it's pretty ugly. Our nothingness is devastating. I mean, it's really terrifying to look into the abyss of nothingness, which is my life, to realize I didn't create myself, I don't sustain myself, I'm not really able to do anything by myself. That's scary. To really face that honestly takes a tremendous amount of interior strength. That's the place that the Lord wants us to get to, and we will only be able to look into the abyss of our nothingness if we are also confident that we have, that the greater abyss is the one of His love. For as much as we are nothing, His love is even greater than that. And so those two things grow hand in hand. A humility and awareness, a radical honesty with who we are, and a radical trust in who He is. Those grow hand in hand. And that grows through the experience of desolation. God pulls away that consolation. He leaves us in desolation, and He faces us a little bit more with our own nothingness. Wow, I am really capable of some scary stuff. And if we don't know what we're capable of, well, there's more desolation to come. He'll help us in that regard to be really humbled by how low we can go. So that's and that's a blessing to us. As I said yesterday, one of the greatest gifts He can give us is failure, because failure makes us radically dependent. It helps us to reach out from the depths and say, Lord, I need You for every breath. That's when our union with Him is really full. Because what the martyrs are able to do, they're able to say, in fact, my faith is more important than my breath. I am better off not breathing than not believing. And I'm willing to even expend my last breath so long as I can hold on to my Lord in belief. So that's what we're aiming for. That takes a lot of interior strengthening and a lot of grace. It's not simply a, what is that, P90X or something, the workout plan. It's pump it up. There's no mere path. The Lord has to be the director of that fortification process. But anyway, we can allow Him to do it. That's the important thing for us, is seeing that He's doing it. He's strengthening us interiorly and saying, "Ha, it hurts so good. Yes, Lord, keep going. I believe." Now, just one last point on gaining insight from desolation. St. Ignatius says, one of the blessings of desolation is that the enemy is very clever. He's much smarter than we are. And the enemy sizes us up, and he finds the weakest point, and that's the part that he goes after. So what happens is we'll start to have thoughts. We'll have an experience of desolation. Where is my weakness? That's first of all where he's going to plunge us into desolation. If I have a lot of insecurity about how I look or something, then it might be somebody's attack. They say, "Wow, you really look ugly today," you know. Oh, and it causes me to crumble, and now I'm like, "Oh, I don't even know the meaning of my life. Does God abandon me?" So the enemy has pointed out this weakness to us, that we have this. This is where we put a lot of our security, is in our appearance, or we put a lot of our security in some particular gift that we have, or, you know, in our speaking, and our charisma, and our ability to interact with people, and our insights, and our whatever it is. So the enemy is going to attack our place of weakness, where we put a lot of our security, parts of our lives that are really important to us, so we can gain that insight. This is an area where I need more trust in the Lord. He's given me some gifts here. He wants to work through those gifts, but I really need to trust. I can't put the weight of my life on this particular gift that I have. And then we can also find from the thoughts that start to come up where our weaknesses are. I mentioned yesterday, you know, I have certain insecurities that are built around kind of little brother, big brother relationships. And so when I'm in a context where I feel like a big brother situation, you know, priests that are older than I am or something like that, that there can be a weakness that starts to open up, and I can get into a competitive mode, and I feel like I have to defend myself or prove myself. So that's, again, and that could lead me into a desolation where I just get weighed down by all of that, and then I start to become despondent about it. But I can also learn from that, from the thoughts that come, that I feel like I need to prove myself, that there's an insecurity that I need to work on with the Lord. There's some healing that has to happen there. And so I can bring those things into prayer and allow the Lord to strengthen that part of me. Now, sometimes He doesn't strengthen it, but He stays there. So St. Ignatius uses the image of a castle. He says, we have like a castle, and the enemy is very good. He knows how to take down fortresses, and so he looks for the where there's a crack in the wall. Now, what we want Jesus to do is like, okay, I know where the crack is now because the enemy found it. He started attacking there. I drove him away. Now I want you, Jesus, to come and spackle that up and fix it, because I don't like that crack being there. And Jesus says, what does he say to St. Paul, right? My grace is sufficient for you. How about if I just stand here myself and love you here? I'm not going to make you strong, but I'll be your strength. I'll stand here and I'll be here to protect you and to reassure you and to love you. And if you trust in me, then the enemy won't be able to get at you in this place. So anyway, sometimes the Lord does come in and say, whoop, fixed up. He gives us a little grace, gives us an image, provides some healing, goes reconstructs some memory of the past. Lots of wonderful ways that the Lord heals us. But again, the point of desolation is by being aware of the thoughts that come, by being aware of the position of that attack that the enemy gives us, can give us some personal insight. And that's a place that we can open up to the Lord and ask for His strength and His healing, particularly in that place. It's, again, part of that self-knowledge we were talking about yesterday. So, ways to resist desolation, insights to gain from desolation, and then just to complete the loop, the last point, which I already mentioned, but just to reaffirm those two key points. The last point is, reveal everything to your spiritual director. mold grows in the darkness. Expose it to the light. So many things. There are molds that simply die when they're exposed to the light. It's rather amazing. You know, if you just let light shine into your shower or something like that, some of that stuff will just go away. Little black spots that are forming there just goes away if it's just exposed to the light. Some things in us are like that too. The enemy can gain a little bit of strength there. Just exposed to the light just goes away. So reveal everything to the spiritual director. That's the goal. Now, again, we talked about developing trust with the spiritual director, and you've got to do that over a little bit of time. But the goal is, if you want to be able to get to the point that you can bring everything into the light, and then the enemy loses so much power over us. When we keep it in the darkness, when we section off parts of our lives, when we start to live this double life, that's where the enemy has a lot more power over us. So if there are only 2 points that you remember, don't change plans in times of spiritual desolation. And if I can make a particular point, part of your plan is spiritual direction. And then when you go to spiritual direction, reveal everything to your spiritual director. And if you've forgotten all of the other 12 rules, he can remind you. See, if you keep going to spiritual direction and reveal everything to your spiritual director, you can boil this whole thing down into just those 2 points, and the spiritual director can fill in the rest. But any of the other things that you can remember, again, and just that 1 point of recognizing, oh, maybe I'm in desolation, that already provides us a freedom. We've already separated ourselves from the interior of that desolation. We've given ourselves a little bit of perspective. We've lifted ourselves up to say, oh, maybe this is happening out here, and then we're in a better position to see, why is this happening? What insight can I gain from it? How can I resist it? How can I push against it? We can do a lot of things from there. So just recognizing the desolation. And then, as I said, of course, in consolation, we want to store those things up and carry them along with us. That's a good time to see more clearly and prepare for the times of desolation. Great. Let us pray. God, loving Father, you have given us such a gift in St. Ignatius to teach us about these simple movements in our prayer, our ministry, our spiritual life. Give all of us insight and clarity about times of consolation and times of desolation. Send your Holy Spirit to remind us the right action to take at those different times in our prayer and our spiritual life. Fill us above all with hope and love, that we might remain united to you and that we might be able to keep moving forward, trusting in your providence. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm happy to take any questions. We have time for questions? I think so. Yeah. Happy to take any questions if you